This is it's almost like in the book of Revelation. We had it one time before around chapter 5 and 6. And it's like the Lord just kind of takes a pause. You got all this going on, and the Lord just kind of takes a pause and gives you a breather. And tonight it's going to kind of be one of those passages of Scripture where the Lord, I mean, you know, last week and the last couple of weeks we've been really, really studying this. Some awful things is happening. And it ain't done. But tonight it's going to be, it's a little bit different, a little bit different, and don't really get into a whole lot of the, I guess, the gore of Revelation, what you would say. But Revelation chapter 10, when you get there, let's stand. We're going to read all 11 verses, and then we'll get into the message. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Let me just stop right there and just kind of insert this. It's not that God did not show John. He told John not to write it. Okay? I want you to understand that. If you go back to the book of Daniel, God told Daniel to shut up the book. I believe God showed Daniel everything that was going to happen, but he told Daniel not to write it. I believe God showed John, but he told John not to write it. And I'll get into that in a little bit. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in, and the earth and the things therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein. And there should be no more time. Let me just stop right there. When it says no more time, that means no more delay. In other words, things that's getting ready to happen are going to happen fast. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, But in the day the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. But as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. God, I know, God, we're going to be blessed just by reading this and hearing this tonight, God. God, I ask your hand to be upon us right now, God. Lord, as we try to expound the scripture, Lord, I pray, God, you give us a better understanding of the book of Revelation, a better understanding of what's going to be happening, God. Have your way right now, Lord. Touch each heart, Lord, and whatever's done, we'll make sure you get all the praise, all the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I guess if I was going to title this, it'd be Jesus Takes Center Stage. If you think about what's going on in the world today, the world has cut Jesus out. They've replaced Jesus with the United Nations. They've replaced Jesus with all kind of other faulty man-made institutions. And the result is total chaos in the world. Amen. The result is what we see going on right now in America. That's the result of removing Jesus. What we see going on in the world, that's the result of removing Jesus out of the way. And what happens here in chapter 10 is Jesus is the focal point of this chapter. Now, in verse 1 through 3, let's look at the treasure that John saw. In this passage, we see John sees a mighty angel descending from heaven. We're not told the identity of the angel. Some people believe it might be Gabriel. Some people believe it might be Michael, the archangel. But I don't believe that. I want to I've said this before, you know, while I'm preaching, I'll tell you what I think. And when you get to preach, then you tell me what you think. It's my opinion that this angel is Jesus Christ. The pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. Jesus shows up all throughout the Old Testament. Understand that. And that's called the pre-incarnate Christ. Jesus showed up in the Old Testament. Jesus appeared to Abraham at the tent door. Jesus appeared to Samson's mother and father. Jesus appeared to Joshua outside Jericho. Jesus met with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. Jesus helped Daniel in the lion's den. If he showed up then, he can show up now. Amen. We're told of his dwelling place. This angel comes down from the very place that Jesus dwells. Amen. John chapter 3 verse 13 says this, "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven." Jesus Christ is in heaven today. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. That tells us that in Hebrews chapter 1 and 3 and chapter 10 and 12. We are told of his dwelling place. We are told of his description. Now listen how it describes this angel. He's clothed with a cloud. Sound like somebody you heard about? He's clothed with a cloud. The cloud is a garment of deity. Psalms chapter 104 verse 3 says this, "Who layeth the beams of his chambers in water, who maketh the cloud his chariot, who walks upon the wind, wings of the wind." God led the children of Israel through the wilderness by a cloud, a dark cloud covered Mount Sinai when Moses received the law in Exodus chapter 19. God clothed himself in the glory of a cloud when he met Moses on the mountain in Exodus chapter 24. When Jesus ascended back to heaven, a cloud received him in Acts chapter 1 verse 9. When he returns, he's going to return in the clouds. First Thessalonians chapter 4. And understand this, he is clothed in a cloud in Revelation chapter 1 verse 7. So this tells us he is clothed in a cloud, this angel. I believe this angel is Jesus. Bible says he's got a rainbow on his head. The rainbow is a symbol of God's mercy and God's faithfulness. It first appeared in Genesis chapter 9 after God had destroyed the whole world with water. And understand, it's a symbol of God's mercy and God's faithfulness. It appears in Revelation chapter 4 where the throne of God is surrounded by an emerald and rainbow. Here, it's a symbol of his mercy. The Bible says that his face shines like the sun. That's a description of his glory. When Jesus walked on this earth, he was concealed for the most part. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2 and 3, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, but when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Philippians chapter 2 says this. Now listen. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient even unto death." Understand something. When his face shines like the sun. When he walked this earth, he was clothed in a human form, but not no more. He shines like glory now. Amen. If you could get a glimpse of Jesus, just what John is describing right here is exactly what he would look like. His feet are like pillars of fire. This is a picture of a judgment. When Jesus comes back, he ain't coming back as the Savior. He's coming back as the judge. And this is a picture of judgment. We're told of his dominion. The Bible says he stands with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. And he has a little book in his hand. This is the picture of his dominion over the whole world. In ancient times, when a person was going to take dominion over a place or a person, he would put his foot on it. When God gave Canaan to Israel, he said, "Every place the sole of your foot shall tread that I have given you, as I have said unto Moses," in Joshua chapter 1. When one king would conquer another king, he would place his foot on the defeated king, showing total domination of that king. We're told he cried with a loud voice as a lion that roareth, and an adult lion's roar can be heard from 5 miles away. A lion usually roars after sunset, and they do so to proclaim their territory. Get a picture of this. Jesus comes down. He puts one foot on the sea, one foot on earth, and his voice is like thunder. He is saying, I am the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This is mine. It's always been mine. You've just been inherited. You've just been staying here. I'm still in control. No matter what goes on, I'm still in control. That's what he's saying. That's the treasure that John saw. Now let's look at the talk that John heard. Verse 3 and 4 says they were voices of mystery. John hears seven thunders. Nobody knows what they said because God told him to close the book, seal it up. In other words, there's some things that God don't keep concealed. There's some things that you and I will never understand. There's questions that you and I have. You know, Paul writes of a time when Paul said he was called up to the third heaven, and he heard words that was not even lawful for him to repeat. In other words, I believe Paul saw stuff that you and I couldn't handle, and Paul probably couldn't even put it into words. There's some things we're going to never know. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says this. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. There's some secret things that you and I ain't going to never know till we get a glorified body. Amen. Why do good people suffer? We don't know. Why do babies have to die? Why do little babies have to get cancer? Why are we going through, why is there so much evil in the world? Why is all this happening? Why is, and we kind of hit on this a little bit of Sunday. Why is living holy, Brother Jackie, so hard sometimes? These are questions that you and I don't know. But one thing we got to understand, God's still in control. And even though I might not know all the answers, glory to God, I might not know all the answers to all the questions, I know one who does. Amen. I know one who's in control. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Amen. God's going to do right. Hey, why do little babies get sick and die? I don't know. All I know is God's going to do right. Why do good men have to suffer? I don't know. All I know is God's going to do right. Hey, Romans 8, 28, still in the book. All things work to good to them that love the Lord and who are the called according to his purpose. Amen. You've heard this before. Somebody says, you know, the question is, why in the world is all this bad happening to me? The question ought to be, why shouldn't it happen to us? We're all just sinners. I mean, if we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell today. Every last one of us. But John heard things that he couldn't repeat. There were voices that talked about the main promise. He tells John that the days of waiting are finished. That's when he talked about no time no more. In other words, hey, it's getting ready to happen. And most scholars believe that at this point, you're kind of halfway through the tribulation, maybe a little further than halfway through the tribulation. In other words, it's getting ready to take hold, and it's getting ready to come fast. That's what he's telling John right there. God is preparing to bring judgment and redemption to an end. God operates on his own time, amen? Amen. I'll be honest with you. I've told you this before. I preached a message years ago. If I was God, boy, this world would be in trouble, Benji. Woo. Amen. But God, aren't you glad that God waited? Aren't you glad that God didn't call time 10 years ago? Some of us would be in hell. Aren't you glad that God didn't call time 25 years ago? Some of us would be in hell. Aren't you glad that God didn't call time 50 years ago? A lot of us would be in hell. But God operates in his own time. And God is telling John here, I'm operating in my own time. You know, it's almost like this. I heard a story one time. I remember reading a story one time. It said this guy was walking by and he saw this little baseball game going on. And he stopped and he watched them play ball, and he was looking over at the team, and this little fellow was out there in left field. He said, how y'all doing? Little boy in the back said, we ain't doing good. He said, you're not? He said, no, sir. He said, what's the score? He said, 23-0. He said, ooh, that ain't good. He said, oh, but don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. We ain't got our turn at bat yet. Right now, it looks like Satan is at bat. But Jesus is coming up. God operates in his own time, amen. And God, and John, he is telling John, I'm going to take care of this. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. The treasure John saw, the talk John heard. Now let's look at the text that John took. John is told to take the book. John is told to eat the book. He said, in your mouth, it's going to be sweet. But in your stomach, it's going to be bitter. The word of God is to be swallowed. The whole thing. We can't just take out the verses about love that we like. We can't just take out the verses about, you know, treating everybody like you're supposed to. You got to take the whole book. And the whole book talks about sin. The whole book talks about how we're supposed to live. The whole book tells us about all these things. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of a mouth of God. You got to understand something, folks. The Bible is a book that you have to take in whole. You just can't take the New Testament without taking the Old Testament. You just can't take the Old Testament like the Jews want to do without taking the New Testament. Hey, somebody said, it's God's story. It's Jesus' story from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The whole book is about Jesus. One old preacher said, you give me the first five books of the Bible and I can preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's all about him. The whole book's about him. And that's the thing, you know, we can't just pick and choose this. I like this verse. I remember hearing a preacher tell me that his sister went to a church up in the mountains, and I don't even know where it was at, but this is what he told me. He said, and you know, they were looking at wanting to put some deacons on their deacon board, and they didn't have any qualified men. So they voted to take that part in 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy out and put a woman on the deacon board. You can vote all you want to. That don't change the Bible. You can tell me you don't agree with it all you want to. That don't change it. You can agree that 2 and 2 is not 4. That just shows how stupid you are. Amen. That ain't good English, but that's good preaching. I mean, listen, we got to take the whole book. We can't just pick and choose. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16 said this, thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing in my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Job chapter 23, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. This right here is more important than what you eat. We've got to take the word of God and put it in. The Bible tells in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envying and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We've all heard those saying, you are what you eat. Amen. You eat a lot of junk food, that's what you're going to be, junk. If you want to be healthy, you eat healthy, amen. If you want to do, I told you this. I've said, I don't like collards. I don't like collards. My wife cooks them, and I eat them, but I don't like them. She brought me something today. Glory to God. She's bad for mixing up this stuff. Y'all know how she is. She brought something out there today. She said, try it. It ain't good, but it's good for you. I'm thinking, why in the world do I want to drink this if it ain't? It's awful. It tasted awful. But I know it's good for you. That's why I drank it. There's a lot of things in this Bible that I don't like. I don't like when that Bible tells me I'm supposed to love my enemies. I don't like that. I don't like it when the Bible says you ain't supposed to slap people. Amen. Don't y'all get quiet on me. I mean, there's things in that Bible, Richard, that I don't like. But I know it's in there. And I'm going to be honest with you. If it wasn't for that Bible, you and I would do a lot of things different. Amen. How was it Paul said it? I did not know sin until the law. Thank God for the law. Thank God for the, and I'm telling you right now, thank God for the New Testament. Thank God that Jesus came and amped it up. Amen. You got to understand something. The way I live, the way I do, because I'm in fear of God. I live the way I do. Let me tell you something. I control my mouth because my Bible tells me so. I control my anger because my Bible tells me so. Because I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if it wasn't for this Bible, I'd be going off on a lot of people. And you would too. But we got to take the whole book. We got to take and apply. We got to eat the whole book. You got to think about how can something be bitter and sweet. The Bible talks about heaven, but it also talks about hell. The Bible talks about worship, but it also talks about sin. And we got to take it all. See, you just can't take the Joel Osteen stuff. That everything's going to be roses and everything's going to be fine. Everything ain't going to be roses and everything ain't going to be fine. Let me tell you something. These here clowns that get on here and tell you everything's going to be all right and everything, you're supposed to have $1 million in the bank, they didn't read about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul didn't have nothing. He made tents. And the Bible says that he lived from day to day. And the Bible says they beat him. He was in shipwreck. He was in jail. All that's in the Bible. So we got to take the whole Bible. Then the Word of God is supposed to be shared. It's supposed to be swallowed, but it's supposed to be shared. He said in verse 10, and he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. I believe Skip said it last night. This is where we worship. Out there is where we serve. Ain't that how you said it last night? This is where we come in and get filled up. This is our service station where we come in and we get enough fuel to make it back to Sunday. Amen. See, that's the problem with all these folks that want to stay home on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Your tank's running empty and you just barely dragging when you get here. We need this. This is where we get filled up. Out there's where we worship. Out there's where we serve. Out there's where we go and try to win the lost. Because the world ain't going to come knocking on your door. Every once in a while it happens like that. But for the most part, the world ain't going to come beating our door in trying to get in here to hear what we're preaching about tonight. So we got to take it to them. Amen. Amen. I love you. I want you to bow your heads with me. Have you been sharing the message?